Welcome to the McKelke Leadership Academy podcast, a podcast designed for student athletes who want to enhance their leadership skills, their academic performance, their athletic abilities, and develop into a better version of themselves. I'm your host, Aaron McKelke. If your school doesn't have a leadership class, if you want help improving your leadership capacity, or if you aim to level up your leadership as an athlete, then this podcast is built for you.
It's good to see you. Good to be here today. So real quick, I want you to do something for me today. I don't want you to look at this as just another day, okay? I don't want you to look at this another day. I want you to look at this as maybe this is the start of the rest of your life. We go throughout life with defining moments. I call them defining moments. And defining moments are things that we come up against in our lives. I believe there's 3 to 5 of them in our lifetime. And those defining moments are things that we come up against. And what we choose will determine the course of our life for the next probably 5, 10, 15 years. Okay, some of you have already maybe had those defining moments. And so I want you to look at today as maybe today is a defining moment. Okay, there was a defining moment for me years ago that I'll get into today. How many of you have heard me speak before? You've heard my heart. Okay, a few of you, good, I love it. Who hasn't? Everyone, okay, good, I love that. I actually like that even better. You're actually pretty accurate on I call myself a youth advocate. I hate the term motivational speaker. I can't stand it. There's nothing about motivation because motivation's only temporary. So I'm excited to be here today. I don't know exactly where I'm going today, okay, but we're gonna go somewhere. And I gotta share a little bit of my backstory to tell you. I would probably define my journey and my life as I didn't choose it, it chose me. Does that make sense? Growing up, I grew up in a small town in Yankton, South Dakota. Okay, I was a resource room kid. Now they would be called IEPs. We didn't have that term when I was growing up because it wasn't that way. We had resource room and modified tests and all the things. I was that kid. Okay. From a young age, I was told I couldn't do certain things. From a young age, I was told that I couldn't read very well. I couldn't write very well. I couldn't talk very well. Ha ha, that's funny. Now I speak for a living. Okay, so it's funny how we try to be defined by label. Okay, and so from a young age, that's kind of what happened. Some of you, if you've been in the football meetings that I've been at, you know that I grew up compared to my older brother. He was a year older than me. Okay, everyone loved him. And so from a young age, I never felt comfortable in my own skin. Willie was really good at sports, football. He was really good in the classroom. He was really well-liked. And so when he went through school, I came in, I was completely opposite of him, and teachers didn't know what to do with that. And I realized from a pretty young age, raise your hand if you can relate to this. I realized from a pretty young age how to be a chameleon and adapt to any circumstance I was in. Anyone? Be able to actually navigate through that world. I could be whatever you wanted me to be. As a matter of fact, I can still do that. If I really want to, I can. I can go and sit with any president, past, former president, future, whatever you want, future president, and I can go to the homeless shelter and you wouldn't know the difference. That's just, I can still do that. I became really good at that. The problem with that is, that created a false identity of who I actually was. And so from a young age, I learned how to adapt to be whoever you wanted me to be, okay? And so that's what I learned how to do. I learned how to do that very quickly. And as I got older, I realized that really no one was interested in anything that I had to give. And so I wanted to make them interested in who I and what I did. Because I knew they were never going to love who I was, okay? And that sport for me became football. I was really good at football. I was kind of like annoying to probably some of you. I was the guy that really didn't have to work out. I was just fast. I was strong. I knew how to take the weight room and put it on the field, okay? But I was also a guy that didn't tap into his potential. Okay? And that's what I actually see a lot of our young generation doing. So a little background on what I do. I now work with schools. I've been I started out as a speaker 10 years ago. I started out doing school assemblies, but then as time went on, it evolved for me. And I didn't want to do the assemblies anymore because I just didn't want to come in one time and then leave. So I created a program in 2018. It's called the Peer Purpose Mentorship Program. I teach schools and kids how to navigate through emotional awareness when you have dealt with trauma or wounds, as I call them, in your life. And I've been contracting with schools since March of 2021, mainly in Colorado. But I've lived in Casper the last 5 years, but I'm actually getting ready to move. I'm moving to Denver. A lot of my work's out there, so in a couple months, I'll be gone. I actually got an opportunity to work with Roosevelt this year. And so that went pretty good for the most part. I just finished up there yesterday, but I'm getting ready to head out, like I said. So I've learned. And so what the biggest thing that I saw is in this young generation is a generation that I think is the strongest generation that we've ever seen. But I think y'all need some guidance. Okay. I think that there's so much that you have to land on. I think there's so much that you have to try to navigate through. And I think some of you don't know how to do that. And so you're just kind of getting through. Come on. She's supposed to be in here. And I think we don't know how to do that, we have seen that be universal, okay, throughout our time. And what I see is a generation of kids that are never filling out to be who they're created to be each and every day, okay? And what I want to see for y'all is I want to see y'all in a position, okay, where you can be who you were created to be each and every day and not be swayed by everything around you, okay? The reality is this. How many of you want to play sports for a really long time? Raise your hand. Or do whatever it is you're doing. Here's the reality. It's not going to go forever. Some of you have dreams of playing in college, right? Some of you won't get there. Some of you will get to college and it will fade out. Some of you may go on. I don't know who's all good in here. You know, you look at a couple people like Logan Wilson. He goes to the NFL, right? That can happen, but it's really not that common. So what I want to do is I want to be able to prepare you for life. And I want you to know that each and every one of you have something special inside of you that when the sports that you're defined by, because how many of you are defined by your sports or what you do, right? Absolutely. When those sports maybe end one day or you're tired of it because it's been pushed since you're this big and everyone wants you to be this major star, when they end, I still want you to be able to go through life offering the world the greatness inside of you. Okay? The only way you can do that is if you understand where you come from. If you understand what the values inside of you are. If you understand that failure is a part of life. If you understand that perfection will never happen, but if you understand most importantly, okay, that who you are as a person will be way more important than what you do, that's the only way that that will change in your life. I have gotten to a place in my life today that if I even the speaking ended, I would be okay. I'm not defined by what I do anymore. That's a true leader. When you can navigate through life, no matter what it throws at you, no matter what you think you're going to be doing, no matter how bad it goes for a period of time, no matter how good it goes for a period of time, I'll be honest with you, I'm really good at getting through hard things. Really good. I was homeless for 10 years of my life, pretty much. I was addicted to alcohol. Bad. My family hated me, wanted nothing to do with me. Because football ended and I didn't know who I was without it. That's why I've been asked to coach and do other things, and I don't really like it. I don't really want to coach. I want to do the character side of it because I know how it ends if we put all our eggs in that basket. And so because of that, I know how to navigate hard things. Hard things don't scare me. Failure doesn't scare me. If it doesn't work this way, we'll just go this way. It's just what it is. But I couldn't have done that if I wouldn't have discovered who I am inside of me. The giftings that I have, the talents that I have, who I am, the loving, compassionate. That's how you know me, right? Loving, compassionate. all the things, person. That's who I want to be known as. And so my ploy to you today is more of, I want you to dig deep down. I want you to start asking yourself, who am I without the things that define me? Do you think you're better than everybody because you do this thing? It's time to switch that. Right? I want you to start digging deep inside and thinking about the bigger picture and your life outside of what you're going to do. How do you want to treat people? How do you want people to treat? What kind of relationships do you want in your life? Okay? Guys, it doesn't just come to you. You have to work for it. You can't just be good at something because you say you're good. You can't get healthy emotionally just because you say you want to. I'm sorry, if you're seeing a therapist, it's not enough to just go sit in the room with them. You have to do the work that they're asking you to do. We live in a world today where people want everyone to do it for them. We cannot do that. It doesn't work. Nothing exists that way. Nothing. And I want us to understand today that it takes more than saying, I'm good at something. It takes more than saying, I want something to change, than actually it changing, because you have to actually do something behind it. Okay? That's what I want us to understand today. That's what I want us to get today. How many of you confront your reality? Honestly, confront your reality. Or how many of you run from your reality? Raise your hand high. Let's go. We're going to get honest today. How many of you run from it? Okay. I want some feedback. Why do you run from it? Okay. So you deny your reality, stick your head in the sand till the moment passes. Is that what you're saying? Okay. So you're a regular high school kid. What does that mean? Take me deeper.
Just going to school.
Okay. Do you understand the question, what I was asking you? Do you deny your reality? Did you understand what I was asking you there? Who else raised their hand? Why do you deny your reality? Okay. What's your name?
Andy.
Andy, thank you for being honest today. Take me deeper. What started making you feel like that? Started playing football? Okay. Okay. I understand that. So how has that made you view other parts of your life? Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Who else denies the reality? You had your hand raised. Tell me why. What do you think? Why do you think you deny your reality? What makes you think that? Okay. So like when things get hard, you'd rather just not deal with it. So does that happen in your relationships too? That you have any, like you just ghost people and rude to them, or what does that look like? Can you tell me? I'm not trying to call you out. We're going to get honest today. That's what I do. He said it. I'm real. Okay. Okay, so what does that look like in your life? Yeah, I just kind of let it till it like crashes out and then it's too late. Yeah, absolutely. So this is what I'm seeing. Thank you all for who this is what I'm seeing all over. And it starts, we have to start confronting our reality. This is why we can't be who we say we want to be. This is why some of you are what I call double-minded. Who knows biblical terms? Who has heard that before? You have. Double-minded. What do you think double-minded means? I'm not talking about Jesus today, I promise you. I mean, if you want to, I can, but that's not why I'm here. Who thinks they know what double-minded can mean? Just think about double-minded. Just the term, hearing it. Take a shot, buddy. Yeah, pretty much you are saying one thing, but you're doing another, right? This is why we become double-minded, because we don't confront a reality. We don't take responsibility for our lives. How many of you, when you get in relational problems, it's always someone else's fault? Ooh, I'm going to some doorsteps today. Raise your hand. Let's go. Let's get real. Yeah, it's always everyone else's fault. What they did to me. Now they're narcissistic, right? No, not everyone's narcissistic and toxic. There are some that are. But we throw that around today so loosely because we don't want to take responsibility for our lives. We want to blame teachers. We want to blame our teammates. We want to blame everybody but someone else. Guys, life doesn't get better as you get older if you continue to blame others for your situation. I'm going to be honest with you. My generation, okay, millennials, I'm 39, just turned it. We blame our parents for everything. I know so many that still blame their parents for how they didn't raise us. And I'll admit to you, our parents sucked at raising us. They weren't great. Those are your parents now. They weren't great. They only gave us what they had, though. You can only give someone what you have. If someone asked me for $1 million today, I can't give that to you. Because I don't have it. So we can't give out what we don't have, especially in tools inside of us. We think people just have integrity. We think people just have honesty. They don't, because they've never been taught it. Do you see where I'm going here today? We have to gain the tools to become the people that we say we want to be. Maybe that's why some of you cannot lead your teams. Maybe that's why some of you don't play. I'm not here, I'm just saying, right? You need to do something? Okay. You okay? You okay? Am I making you nervous walking around? Okay. What's on your heart? Okay. Is my speech unsettling you?
No, I won't.
Okay, let me know. I got you. Okay? We have to start confronting our reality. We have to start looking at the pain we've experienced in our lives from our parents, from our siblings, from whatever. I know some of you are in so many different situations. Some of you don't have fathers in the home. Some of you don't have mothers in the home. I get that. But it's time that we have to start confronting that. We have to stop running. Because if you run from the things you don't want to become, you'll end up running right into them. It's inevitable. And everything we're doing today, okay, will either become a roadblock that keeps you in your past, or it'll be a launching pad into your destiny. But at some point in time, those choices you're making, whether that's running from things that you need to deal with, they're going to show up. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be when you don't want it to and you're ready to move forward in life and you can. Because here it comes. I've been there. Overcoming what I had been through. It had been 10 years and I had built a mountain of stuff. I hadn't dealt with football ending. I got kicked off the team at Michigan State. I had a full ride scholarship. Came out of junior college. Top 5 junior college defensive end in the country. Football team knows this. Number 26 player overall. I ran a 4.940 at 303 pounds. I was fat. I went to a Division II school after getting kicked off. I was faster than all of our secondary. And all that happened. I got kicked off the team. My family didn't want anything to do with me. All the things. When I finally decided we had to stop running and stop denying our reality, that was the hardest thing I'd ever been through, was overcoming that pile of things that I had ran from. You talk about things when you're trying to do something new and here comes your past. You talk about something that messes with your emotions and your mentality, your mental health. More than that, I'm telling you, literally, I was 3 years, 4 years into this thing. Okay, I'll never forget this. 3 years, 4 years into this thing. I was ready to go. I created the program that I was just telling you about. It was early though. And I was ambitious because I'm a dreamer. I love going to get it. I want it all. Okay, I want to open schools one day, everything. I'm trying to change public education. I'm trying to do the whole thing because I know what y'all need. I do. I'm not saying no one else does. I have to be careful. I have to really clarify that in schools because when I say things, certain people, I know you guys won't, but certain teachers get mad at me when I say things. Okay, I understand what y'all need. That's why I'm out there fighting for y'all. I work closely with superintendents, school boards, principals. That's what literally what I do because I'm trying to change the landscape of what they're giving y'all. Okay, but I remember I started this thing out. And it was early and I was working with a school and I'm like, this is gonna be in every high school, middle school in the United States. And I was so pumped. And they ran a background check on me. It was 3 years after. I could have had character references and everything. I was ready to go. And the superintendent came back and said, Bobby, with your background, we can't work with you. That almost derailed me. And it made me realize that it's like, dude, your past has everything to do with your future. Because there's some people that will choose not to see you differently with your experiences. And so what you're doing now is important. There's some people that will hold it against you. Am I good on time? Okay. Love it. You guys care if I take my time a little bit today? You guys good? Am I boring you? No, we're good. All right, we're locked in. All right. You see that dude on Instagram that's always saying locked in? What is it, Dave Davis or something? He's hilarious. He's funny. We're locked in? Okay, good. I want to open it up at the end for some questions because I want to help y'all. Dude. Okay, I want to help y'all. What did I just get done saying? What was the last thing I said before I paused? You guys remember? Yes, thank you. Sorry, I talk so much, I don't remember anything I say. All right. Your past has nothing to do with your future. And so that happened to me. But I actually, that was a lot of it. My past was, you know, was a lot of it. I accept it though. But realistically, I think the bigger thing was this. And I'm thankful now for that no. I'm thankful I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I didn't have the person I am now wasn't to the forefront yet back then. I would have lost it on a principle. I wouldn't have been able to handle the criticism that I've taken in the last like 3 years. I wouldn't have been able to do that. So I'm thankful that it didn't work out. But what it did was it made me also conscious, though, that you know what? From going forward, Bobby, every decision now, we have to make sure that we're making it because as much as the bad decisions come and the consequences of those affect us, the good decisions and the good consequences affect us. And because I've had the momentum, there's been things that are happening. I've been in rooms that I shouldn't even be in. Been in rooms that I don't have no business being in. Schools are looking to me for things that like, dude, I have a bachelor's in sociology. But superintendents with PhDs are looking across me and say, we don't know what to do. What do we do, Bobby? And I'm not, like, I'm dead serious. It's because I've become it. Am I perfect? Nope. Make mistakes all the time. But I've become who I say I want to be because I started confronting my reality. And I started realizing that the fastest way through it is always to go through it. The runaround will delay it. Okay? We'll always delay what we're going through. That's a leader. A leader is admitting the mistakes. Leading by example, first one through the door always gets the bloody lip. Take the bloody lip first. Because everyone behind you will follow in after you. It's admitting that you missed it on that time. You didn't say that very well to them. That's what a true leader is. No one wants a leader that they can't live the standard up to. They don't want a leader that's perfect. They don't want a leader that doesn't make mistakes. They want a leader that says, no, I made a mistake there. Because they know it's tangible. You can hold on to it. Right? They don't want a leader that never apologizes. when they're wrong. Or say, I'm sorry, but you pissed me off. No, that's not an apology. That's called a non-apology. I'm sorry you felt that way. Non-apology. Get it out of your vocabulary. It's not a real apology. A real apology, while we're at it, I'm just going to go here too. A real apology is acknowledging the damage that you've done to someone. What's your name? Jackson? Jackson, man, you gave me some information, brother. And I used it against you. I'm sorry I went and told someone and you told me that in confidence. I know that betrayed your trust a little bit. I want to apologize to you. Will you forgive me? And I know with the trust, I got to earn it back. So within reason, let me know what I can do to earn your trust back. Is that cool? I appreciate you, man. Thank you. Thank you for the grace. That's what apology looks like. You acknowledge the point of damage. You don't look at, Jackson, no, that's not an apology. Humble yourself. That's what a true leader does. You missed it. It's okay. I've been on a leadership journey the last 5 years. I had an employee for two, but I ended up having one for 4 years. And I'll be honest with you, it was a learning curve for me. I'd never had someone stick with me as long, and it grew so fast. The minute I moved here, everything just took off for me. The year I moved here, I was in front of 18,000 students all over the country, Kentucky, Indiana, Alabama. I wasn't used to that. I was used to doing the Midwest. I did one thing in the West Coast, but when I moved here, it just went like that. And so I had this person work for me, but I'll be honest with you, I was learning how to be a leader. They're no longer with me, which is completely okay, but that experience, I was able to reflect on the last year, and now I'm going to be a better leader if I do bring people on in the future, because I learned where my blind spots were, the things that I need to work on. Because there's days I was a good leader, there's days I was an awful leader. And I had to admit that to myself. But the thing that I'm building, I've never known where I'm going. It just happened, and I just go. So that's what I want. So I think that's the message, that we got to confront our reality. We got to start taking responsibility for our lives again. We got to stop worrying about ourselves. Okay? And just ourselves. Everything you do is a reflection of everyone around you. But more importantly, it's a reflection of who you want to be. Okay? I want us to get a little more honest today, to think of some stories. I'll tell us. I want to kind of open the floor for you. And then if we get done early, we can hang out afterwards. I'll talk to you. I just love kind of hanging around if you guys are cool with that. But I want you guys to kind of think about some questions, okay? Think about some really deep questions. I'm a deep person, okay? I love going deep, but more importantly, I just want to hear your hearts today, and I want to help you, okay? I want to help you maybe bring some of your reality into plain sight, right? I want to help you become the person that you really claim you want to be. And so I want you to think about it. We're not going to worry about if people are going to judge us for the questions. Like, it's okay. If they judge you, they judge you, right? But I can tell you this. I ask questions all the time. I want the wisdom. I want to see people that have been before where I want to go, and I want to sit down with them. I want to pick their brain because I want to know what they've done, because it's been done once, it can be done again. And so I love asking questions. I ask tons of questions all the time. It's good. So I want y'all to ask some questions today, okay? And my leaders in the room, and I know who some of you are, if we don't ask questions quickly, I'll start calling on y'all. Okay, I want y'all to start this question thing off so everyone else feels comfortable. Because here's the deal. If you're a leader, if you're one of the top, let's just say, and you're like, I don't know, do I have only athletes in here? Is it just strictly athletes? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not leaving anyone out, like if someone's in theater or something like that. So if you're one of the top athletes, or if you think you're one of the top athletes on your sports team, I need you to lead by asking the questions. So your peers, the people that have went to war with you and battle with you this year, feel comfortable. Okay? First one through the door gets the what? Yeah, it's good. Paying attention, I love it. So who's up first? You can ask me anything. Sir. Yeah. Good question. Family took a while, okay? Me and family are still working on it. Me and my mom, relationship was very bad for many years because of what my mom has been through, what I've been through. I was verbally abused by my mom for many, many years. That was actually the biggest thing that I had to heal from when I started coming after this. Matter of fact, the family, when I was in treatment, I went to treatment twice for alcoholism, okay? First time, May 1st, 2011. I'll actually share that story, how there was something said to me in treatment my first time in a minute, how it changed everything for me. If you follow me on Instagram, Bobby Jones Speaks, shameless plug. If you follow me on Instagram, you have probably seen that the clip is posted on there. But it took some time. And so the first year, me and my mom, we were told not to talk about anything serious. And she did a good job. I was really proud of her. It just took time, consistency over time. When you make consistent choices in who you are and you invest in yourself, I had to invest in some things that I had never done. I wasn't told that emotions were okay. I was told that as a young kid, my anger was crazy, that emotions are not something that you can have. And so I had to put it away. So that's why alcohol became a big problem. It's because I was hurting inside. And I was so, like, my pain, I was compared to my older brother. I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin. I've been there. I know exactly what that's like. I know exactly like what that's like, where I had to, even football didn't make me, even though I was good at it, it didn't make me feel good enough. And so the pain became so great that I had to escape. And my escape was alcohol, because it made me numb and it made me do things that I would never have done if I wasn't. And so it just took time. Now me and my family are in a great place today. Actually, my mom just called me the other day. It was great. She and like for her to tell me she loves me, that wasn't something that was consistent early on. Now it's, that was what we say, Bobby, I'm proud of you. She's still working through some things, but I went the other way. I became the parent in a sense later in life to meet her where she's at and love her well and be compassionate, because I found out later in life, my mom went through some things growing up and she doesn't know how to deal with them. And there was some pretty bad, horrendous things. And so now I just meet my mom where she's at. I love her well. So me and my family, good. Me and my brother are in a good place today. He's like one of my best friends. But it just took time. But I had to show him. Couldn't tell him. They didn't believe that. So consistent over time became my lifestyle. And they saw that. And some people, that's all I needed. There's still some people that are like, Bobby Jones F that dude. But there's some people like, Bobby, that's all I needed to see. So that's how it happened. Did that answer your question? Yeah. Great question, buddy. Sir. Say it again. Man, that's a good question. How did I stay disciplined and change my life? So when I realized I had to change, I was like 27, 28. I had been dealing with this for a long time. A long, long time. And I was tired. I was exhausted. The alcohol had beaten me up and one last time. And I had attempted suicide, actually, the second go around. I slipped my wrist in front of a good friend. I was done. I wanted to die. Because I had no hope. See, when you don't have hope, it's a crazy thing how hopelessness is an illusion, because it's part of not confronting the things, but I just knew the alternative wasn't what I wanted anymore. And I knew that there was nothing expected of me. Football was done. I had lost that opportunity. I didn't go to the NFL. And I just wanted a better life. I just wanted to have some type of rest, because my rest, like lack of rest, was haunting. And so I just knew that I didn't want to go back. But here's what the game changer was for me, okay? There's something I call a ceiling, okay? It's our threshold, okay? All of you have it, okay? Let me explain to you what a ceiling is. A ceiling is that thing when we hit the top, when we're at the end, right? We're overwhelmed with our emotions. Life is not going the way we want it to. We feel out of control. You all know those things. I'm not asking you to admit them in here. But you guys have those things that when you hit your ceiling, okay? When you hit your ceiling, Okay. Just being honest with you, some of it, for you guys, it's the thing we always revert back to. Some of it's pornography for some of you. I'm just being real. Okay. Some of it's unhealthy sex. I'm just being real. Some of it's alcohol, weed. Yeah, I'm real. I'm going to be honest with you. I just wanted to give you a point of reference. We all have that ceiling. And it's that thing that we revert back to because we don't know any new tools. And so for me, I had to break through my ceiling. So my ceiling was actually alcohol when hard things happened because I wanted to escape my reality. Well, I went through a breakup my first year. And I shouldn't even have been dating. I was just the type of person that I had to figure out for myself. I shouldn't have been dating. I had too many life changes going on. And so I dated a girl because my pride. And she broke up with me. And my first instinct was I need to go drink. But then I started thinking about it. I was like, Bobby, what if we didn't though? This is like 2015, 16. I was like, what if we didn't? Why would we make a permanent decision for a temporary circumstance right now? What if she calls you in an hour and says she wants you back? What if she calls you in a day? So I decided not to drink. And I got through it faster than I thought, and I didn't go back with her, and it's fine. But I broke through my ceiling. So it was the first hard thing that I did outside of treatment that I had to confront my reality. And I had to accept the circumstance for what it was. And then the next hard thing came, and I didn't drink. And the next hard thing. And then before you know it, that's become my lifestyle. That's become my habit. I've been through way harder things in these last 10 years than I was when I was drinking, and I didn't drink. I haven't drank in 9 years. So the consistency, breaking through my ceiling, confronting my reality is why how I stayed disciplined. I didn't run. I stopped running. I ran my whole life. I ran my whole life and I stopped running. I said, I got to stand in this. No matter what it looks like, no matter how it finishes, I have to stand in it. And that's how I stayed the course. And let me just tell y'all something. Let me bring that around because that's a perfect question. Let me bring this all the way around, okay? Something's in my heart. I don't want you to go home and tell your parents that I was talking about pornography and sex in class. I just want to say that. Are you guys cool with what I just said there? Okay, I wasn't saying, I was giving some examples. I need to be clear on that. Okay, I'm just real. I'm going to be real. So bringing that all the way around. I remember where I was at. Hold on. Oh. This is what I said, that this thing chose me. I didn't choose it. So let me tell you how it started. I got sober. I came out of treatment. I changed every single thing. Okay? I changed every single thing. I stopped hanging out with the friends that I grew up with. I stopped going to the places. I stopped drinking, all the things, okay? And I was starting to put it all together. I was trying to live a better life. 8 months after I got out of treatment, I was asked to go get my high school. My high school football coach, his nephew was addicted to Oxycontin. So he's like, can you help him get into treatment? We got him into treatment. My coach calls me. He says, hey, would you come speak to the team in a couple months in our fall camp just about addiction? I was like, sure. I wasn't a speaker then. I was like, yeah, coach, I'll come. He's like, I'll give you some gas. I was like, oh, okay, cool. That's fine. I go down there and I speak. Well, they posted pictures on their Facebook page at the time. And someone else contacted me. They said, hey, can you come speak to my youth group? What do you charge? I said, well, what? You can charge for this thing? That's how it started. And it just took off from there. And then someone opened the door for me to go into schools. And I realized that that's what I was going to be doing. See, here's what happens when you become your true, authentic self. And when you stop living for the applause of man, here's what happens. People don't know what it is, but they're like, I don't know what that is, but that is something worth following, and they want it. That's what they want. And so people start following. So that's how it happened. I wasn't trying to be a speaker. The things that I've been through the last 10 years, some of it, I didn't sign up for it. I wasn't used to, I mean, I had some notoriety playing football, but I wasn't used to being in the spotlight. I wasn't used to people knowing who I am. I wasn't used to a generation thinking I'm famous. I don't know why they think that. It's weird for me. But that's what happens when you become your true, authentic self. I get asked all the time, Bobby, how do we become famous? Because a lot of you kids want to be famous, right? TikTok famous. Okay? And let me just tell you, I have some friends. You guys see the dude that drums with paint on TikTok? Austin Ware, that's a good buddy of mine. I'll tell you, it's not all it's cracked up to be. But everyone wants to know. You want to know how to be famous? I'll tell you how to be famous. Become your true authentic self. Stop trying to go in the mold of what everybody thinks you should be because they were telling us out there online and become you. That's unique. People will follow that. But you'll be famous for the right reasons, not to gain money. Let me just tell you something. You gain notoriety, you gain money, you don't have the foundation, you'll lose it quickly. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to say this humbly. I'm ready to blow up. I have the foundation. If I get famous tomorrow and I go viral and I have 100 million followers, I'll be ready. Because it's been 10 years of harvesting and sowing. It's been all that. Okay? You've noticed music, right? One hit wonders. Where are some of them people now? You don't know. Adele, let's just use Adele, okay? Because that's what I have in mind. Took her 15 years to make it overnight. That's why you see the people last and the others don't. They get a quick paycheck. The ones that are one hit, they get a quick paycheck from a label and they fade out. And we think it's dope. It's not. It's the ones that last. Why do you think they last? Because they become who they say they want to be. Now, I don't know if Adele's the best example, but I'm just using it, okay? Over time, consistency. Does that answer your question? What else? Are those old Lays? Those look real. Do you get the nacho cheese with them? Sour cream, nacho cheese? Ah, dude. Mix those two together. Game time. Yes, sir.
Can you like shift your mind?
Yeah. So again, we come down to this is where, let me ask you a question. Can you get honest with me for a second? Do you feel like you have some emotional wounding to work through? Probably. Okay. Let me ask you a question. I'll be able to tell you if you do or not. When you're, I call them bump your bucket. That's what I call it. It's really called triggered. When your bucket is bumped and you get upset, how do you react? Can you just be honest with me? Do you get angry? What does that look like? And this is not to call, this is not to be used against it. I used to get really angry years ago.
I guess I get like threat. They're like overwhelmed.
Okay. Do you ever lose it on anyone? Okay. So typically, okay, to me, everything comes down to emotions, guys and girls. Everything comes down to emotions. And so typically the things that you've been through, if you haven't worked through them, if you haven't hit, and I'm not saying everything is deep trauma. I'm not saying that. Like I've worked with some kids that have deep, deep trauma. And I have some kids that just have a little bit, right? But if we don't become that thing, meaning we start working on that, our mindset shift and those motivational videos online, we love to save those. We love to send them to people, but they're just a great idea. How many of you know how to become those videos? Raise your hand. You know how to become them? Tell me how. Okay, what does that look like? Take me deeper. Take me deeper. What's your process? You don't know. You don't know. And I know that, and it's okay. I'm not downing that. I'm not like, it's okay. It's just a great idea if you don't become it. And so it starts with internal work inside of you. That's how you shift it. You start taking care of your emotional well-being, your mental well-being. Don't stuff, guys and girls. Don't stuff. It'll come out later on when you don't want it to. I'm telling you, some of you, and we are over-therapizing today, so I don't like that. Because we're just, go see a counselor. I want you to see a counselor if you need it, but I want you to do the work that a counselor is asking you to do. Okay? You can reach out to me. I'll help you. Bobby Jones Speaks on Instagram and all the things. But that's how you shift. You start doing the internal work. Like I said, you start becoming. I didn't know how to do it either early on. But I just continued to heal from my past, and that's how I shifted the mindset. Now there's nothing I don't think I can't do. But I've humbled myself over the years too. Like, I've been humbled more. I love the opportunity that I get to speak. I love it, you know. But if there's another out one day, I'll know that too. Does that answer your question? We could talk more about that. I'd like to talk to you. Am I good? How much more time? Oh, love it. Sir. I'm sorry, sir. Now?
Yeah.
Well, anger looks different today for me. Your age, I put holes in my mom's wall. Matter of fact, you know what my mom told me years ago? She goes, Bobby, let me know when you get your first house. I'm coming over with a sledgehammer. That's what she told me. I was an angry kid, man. Super. It was more I didn't feel good enough. You know, I had two parents in the home, but my parents would never admit this. But they loved my brother more. They just did. You could tell. And so I was an angry kid because I always felt invisible. Anyone can relate to that today. I was invisible. I just didn't feel like people saw me, right? That's why I'm really good. I love seeing people because I know what it's like not to be seen. Over the healing that I've done in my life from the mother wound that I had, you know, I had a big mother wound. And I realized even like when I dated in my early 20s, throughout my 20s, I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. I was looking for a mom. And I had to come to terms. I wanted someone to take care of me. And I had to come to terms with that. I was like, Bobby, why are you always getting these girls to pay for things and da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And all the things and not reciprocating any of it and all the things. And having to take you in because you lost your place again. Like, that was my 20s. And I realized that I had a mother wound. And so I learned to heal. So in layman's terms, it would be like a therapist or something that you could talk to start going after the wounds that you may have in your life. And then through that, the anger disappeared. Doesn't mean I don't still get angry or frustrated. I just don't react like I used to. I'm able to regulate myself now. You know, I know what that looks like. I don't think I've been angry in a long time. You know, just because I get frustrated, like, yeah, that's annoying. But I think it's been a while. So that's how you do it. Again, unless you start doing the work, you've had some lonely nights, bro. I really feel that for you. Yeah. Like some lonely, lonely nights. Yeah, I want to talk to you after. I could be wrong, but I feel like you're trying to present someone that you're actually not, but you want to present the real person, but you're scared to show it. I could be wrong. Am I accurate? I don't know that I am. Yes or no, maybe so? Okay. I want to talk to you afterwards. Yeah, I get it. I've been there. So I've learned to heal. That's the answer to the question. That was long-winded. You got one for me? My man. How I deal with criticism? So back then, man, it was just like, I was like, I wasn't cocky. I was self-centered. There's a difference. Self-centered is bad. Like, matter of fact, the first time I went to treatment, my rest in peace, my first ever, I went to Keystone Treatment Center in Canton, South Dakota. My first ever counselor, Bill Anderson. I'll never forget this guy. He's died since. But he was the first person in my life ever to tell me the truth. I loved him. He was a guy that would put me in tears in like 20 seconds after walking in a room. And treatment all month. It was a 30-day inpatient, and he would rip me apart. He would just know how to touch my buttons, and I would be sobbing. He was the first person to really tell me the truth. And he told me, he's like, I took this test and said, you're very they took this test, and the lady told me, she goes, you're narcissistic. I didn't know what that meant. And I'm telling you, this is 2011. And I was like, what does that mean? And my counselor looks over, he goes, it means you're in love with yourself. And I started laughing, but it was one of those situations back then, dude. It fueled me. The hate fueled me because I thought everyone was hating on me. See, when you're living out of a perspective and a lens that isn't, it's broken. Mine was broken. I couldn't see the world the right way. I didn't see things for what they were. You have a tendency to think, anyone relate to this? You have a tendency to think everyone's against you. Anyone? Okay. That's how I lived for many years. So everyone hated on me is what I thought. So back then it was different because I was a different person. I can tell you what I do now and what I've done. I've realized that not everyone's for you, and that's okay. I'm not going to treat them any different. Okay. I don't honor people because they deserve it. I honor them because that's who I am. I don't respect people because they deserve it. I respect them because that's who I am. It's more about me than it is them. And so now I focus on the people that support me. That's how I deal with it. And I know that I want you to know who I am more than what I do, so you can make your judgment off of that. Does that help? Be a better person and things will go okay. That's what I want. I want people to say, yeah, he's a speaker, but he's a better dude. He's a better man. You know, different things like that. You know, this kid right here knows me outside of Bobby Jones Speaks, don't you? Spent a lot of time with their family. Used to. Not much lately. We will a little bit before I head out. But and so he knows me in a different light than a lot of people know me. And he could probably even speak for who I am, you know? And so that's kind of what you just got to focus on, the people that support you. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Because there's a lot of people that won't, and that's okay. But maybe you'll be an inspiration to them that they actually see, you know what, he's doing something or she's doing something. I want to be encouragement to people. I want to impact their life and let them know they can do it too. So don't worry about the haters. Don't even play that game on social media. Don't even play it, dude. It's not even worth it. At the end of the day, those people, if they're not for you, do they really matter anyway to you? No. Look at the people who has the biggest voice in your life. Who has a voice in your life? Those are the people that matter. If a stranger tells you you suck, that shouldn't matter to you. They don't know you. They don't know your heart. If someone close to you says that, that's different because their words matter to you and your words matter to them. But if they don't know you, let them talk. Does that help? If it didn't, tell me. I'll take it deeper. Okay? Okay. Sir. No, I never really coached.
Deciding away from
the false reality that it made me live in. There was one night I was drunk. I was a couple years, a year before I went back to treatment. I was sitting with my mom in the background. It was another bad night. And by then, like, it was just a lot of just things. Just regret and shame. I was living under shame for a long, long time. And I remember this is kind of what started making me snap out of it a little bit. I was sitting in the back room. It was late at night and I was crying. My mom was sitting back then. I was looking at one of my old football pictures. And she looks at me. She goes, Bobby, it's over. You have to let it. Like, you have to let it go. And so I realized there I didn't want it to hold me hostage anymore. And so I started doing the things I needed to do to heal from it and really get to a place where it's like, dude, it's not all you can do. And the coolest thing is, dude, I love it now because, like, I found so many other giftings inside of me. Like, yes, I could do way other things in football. It's like, I love to read. I want to write. I want to be an author. Like, so I can speak, you know, I do music. I also rap and all the things. I have songs out there and everything. And so it's like, the coolest thing is there's so many things inside of us, guys and girls, that we don't even know they're going to come alive in us later in life. Things like, there's people in here like, and it's usually the people that you wouldn't expect, right? It's the people that like hate reading are going to be authors one day. Like, that's just how it goes. And so that's how I started moving away from it and just separating my identity from who I was with it. You know? Make sense? Sir. Oh, this is good. One of my lessons I teach in my program is called prepare for failure. Okay. I let my kids know that I work with, I let them know that it's okay to fail. Sometimes we can make a wrong decision in the right heart. And so if it's like that, and sometimes, yes, I've made a bad decision the last 10 years, just bad decisions. I understand that it's okay to make mistakes, and I don't want to consciously make mistakes, but I always try to go back and learn. But I have other people in my life that I can bounce it off of and say, this happened, can you talk to me? And they walk me through that. I don't do life really alone anymore. I have people in my life that can speak into my life. And so I just don't go through it. So that's what I start dissecting. Okay, made a mistake, da da da. But sometimes I make mistakes and I think I'm doing the right thing, but it just didn't work out like that. And so I don't look at mistakes as the end of the world. I know y'all do. Some mistakes you make, you think it's life ending, and it's not. And so that's how I start dissecting what I can learn better. I'm just not afraid of failure. I'm just not afraid of it. It doesn't bother me. I'm okay with, if that didn't work, we'll go this way. So I bounce it off of people, man. I understand that one mistake, I feel like I need to tell you this, that one mistake or those two mistakes, it doesn't define you. It doesn't define who you are. It doesn't show how good of a friend you are. It doesn't show how good of a son you are, a brother or sister, right? And so just know that. Just go back and do it better next time. That's it. Take the good things that happen from it and take the bad things. We stay away from the bad things. We apply the good things. It's not the end of the world. Sir.
Ray, you as a person, you as a ballpoint.
Ooh, that's a good question, man. Okay, well, insert, I'm not going to go too far into it. If you guys want to hit me up later, I'll tell you about it. Faith is a big part of my life. Okay? Faith is a big part of my life. That's how I separated it. I was able to learn who I was outside of anything that I ever do. So that was a big part of it. The tangible thing is I got around people that would actually help remind me who I was when I forgot. And so just people that would constantly reassure me that I'm okay with me and being me, and people don't want anything from me but just me. And so that helped the real relationships in my life, people that know my heart deeper. That's how I can, people that like, there's, you know, and some people don't even ask me what I do until we get deeper into the relationship. It's, you know, and so it just, that's kind of how I can go deeper in that, but I don't want to do it here. But that's kind of how I did it. What about the teachers in the room? We got to lead by example a little bit. Do we have any questions?
I'm from a rough family, or I'm from like getting like their generation.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Nowhere again.
Sure.
Or great. They may be great at the school.
Sure.
Like want to overcome better, but where to begin?
Yeah.
I mean, the school counselor so much. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I understand that's a great question. I understand the labels. Okay, I get it. I know, I'm just going to say it like this. I know that there's people, kids in schools in this town that have gotten labels from the time they're in sixth grade. I work with some of those kids. So again, we're going to go back to, it's going to be some of the emotional stuff. We start with, what do you want for your life? Like some of you will watch your parents just not do it well. Would we agree? We watch them not do it well. And so we got to understand, do you want that? Do you want them to give you that exact thing? Because that's where you'll go to. And so you have to start looking at, what does that look like? For some of you, it's going to be the trauma that they gave you. You got to go heal it. That's how we start. You realize what's laying inside dormant that is causing you to go down the generational. Years ago, 3 years ago, I share a story. spoke at a prison in Colorado. And the kid came up to me. He was like 26. And this is like 2-3 years ago. He's like, and it was interesting. His name is affiliated, like they're big in Denver with the blood of the Crips, big. And their name is known. I mean, I heard the name even before I was at the prison. Like, they are big throughout Denver. And he came up to me, he said, man, I want to really change my last name. Your story impacted me. He goes, we are known for this. My uncle's a murderer, da, 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 all the things. And he was headed down, he was headed down the same path. I told him the same thing. I was like, dude, you have to get away from the generational trauma that keeps getting passed down. So you have to get a therapist, all the things. So you it starts with the healing. Some of you need to go get protected from your parents and start healing and find ways to protect yourself, because maybe you're in situations that hurt you. And so you need a safe place to be broken. Maybe that's a different adult that's not your in your home. You have to have a place where you can dump. You have to have a place where someone can treat you like you're their own, whether that's a mentor or whatever, right? I wish I could do it. I'd do it for you all, but I can't do it for everyone, right? And so it starts with that. And so we start getting to a place where we have to realize what some of the things we've grown up in is not normal. And then we got to start looking at, okay, how do I start healing? And then that's how you start changing the course of that, okay? And we continue to use that as a lifestyle. But pay attention when normal comes into your life. I know it's weird, but when you see families that like do things right, if you have friends that pay attention to it, like that's real love, okay? Did that answer your question? I could take it deeper. Sure. And I get that. And here's the deal. Maybe not even a therapist. I just use that as sort of a reference for them. It could be someone like a coach that you look up to, right? It could be a teacher you look up to, you know, whatever it is. It could be just an adult that you look up to, that you've seen some great qualities in them that you can spend some time with, you know, ask them to go, hey, can I go to coffee with you? I want to just talk to you. You know what I mean? Like different things like that. And so we have to do our part. I will tell you, us as adults have to do our part in order for you to do yours. And some of us aren't doing that. And I'm trying to fight for that. And unfortunately, it is stuck that the district doesn't have many resources. I've been trying to get into this district for the last 3 years. I've been trying. It just didn't work out. And I hate it. But it's what it is, because but there's online counselors. You know, I've seen this. Have you guys heard of the shadow book on TikTok? You see that going around ever? I got it. I love it. There's things that we can do out there that, you know, hit me up. I got some things for you. You know, I'll give you my email when I'm gone. I don't want to start rambling. That's good though. You're right. You got anything to add, or are we almost done, or? Okay. Oh, perfect. One or two more questions. Yeah.
First one here is whatever class.
Yeah. It'd be the thing I do in schools. So I'll explain what my program is. It's called the Peer Purpose Mentorship Program. Schools use it as their number one mental and emotional health program. I work with a lot of schools in Colorado. I'm in a school this year, and I just got a 2-year extension with them. So we're going to do it for that 2 years. I get them during their core classes. I get the 6 through 12 because they're small enough to have that all in one school. And I get them literally, like, they may have math and they'll come to me for 45 minutes and I teach them about their emotions, or I teach them how to confront the reality. And then 7th, 8th, so on and so forth, and we rotate a schedule. I am a firm believer that schools now, this has to be a part of our everyday life with them just because they're not getting it anywhere. I don't care about math. I don't care about science. I tell schools all the time, I don't care about it. I know they need it, and I know you need your test scores so we can get that funding at the end. I know that's what it's really about, but so it would be that. It would be the peer purpose mentorship program. I teach them about healthy platonic relationships, how to deal with each other, and I teach them about emotions. And I create new ones every year based on the need of the school. That would be it. It's been good. A lot of things have happened. A lot of great results have happened from it. And I love it. And I'm actually going to start getting to the staff. I'm taking the staff of my school through it next year. Because the staff don't know how to handle their emotions. And I've let them know that. I can't cut this out and put this on social media. Yes. Yeah. I don't get me started on that. Dude, we'd be here all day. That drives me crazy. Can't deal with it. Yeah, we just live in a world, I'll leave you with this, and we could talk whatever, I'm not in a hurry to get out of here. We live in a world where we want to tell everybody what to do, but we don't want to do it ourselves. Don't be that generation. I believe in you. I made this. This is my merch. I'll be launching it soon. Strongest generation. I made this for y'all because I believe you are the strongest generation. There's not a generation stronger than you. You just have to do the things to line up to become the person you say you want to be to the person that you actually are. Any last questions? I love you. Okay. Proud of you. I'm here for you, even if it's just on social media. Shoot me a message, Bobby Jones Speaks. On Instagram, Bobby Jones Speaks. On TikTok, BobbyJonesSpeaks@gmail.com is my email. If you don't want to ask a question, you can email me. I always answer. I'll answer my DMs. I believe in each and every one of you. There is so much gold inside of you. And I promise you that if you continue to just discover the best version of yourself, you will land on the life that you will be proud of. Gentlemen, am I boring you? Okay. You will land on a life that you will be proud of. My name is Bobby Jones, and that is my time. Thank you. Perfect. Did y'all get something out of that?
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the McKelke Leadership Academy podcast, a podcast designed for student athletes who want to enhance their leadership skills, their academic performance, their athletic abilities, and develop into a better version of themselves. I'm your host, Aaron McKelke. Don't settle for being average. Leaders don't just do the bare minimum. They do more than expected. Now, it's time for the most important part. To learn from a book, close the book. To learn from leadership class, walk out of class. And to learn from this podcast, you have to turn off the podcast and do work.